inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for joining us. Our guest is Miles Kovacs. Hi, Miles. How are you?
How you doing, Pat?
Good to see you.
The president
and co-founder of Dub Magazine, which is a trendsetter for a long time, right?
It's almost 18 years now.
That's a long time.
I'm 43
years old.
And you
still call it a magazine.
Yeah, it's still a magazine. Right. So we're an anomaly.
Online as well, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
You know, I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur. I always thought growing up and, you know, being from East LA, I'd be either dead or in jail because that's what I was told.
Right.
So I didn't really have big aspirations for myself and neither did like my family and stuff like that. So I live way past what I've ever thought I would be.
Well, you wanted to get out though, right?
Well, you know what? I never knew there was a way out. I never knew there was an out. So when you're sitting there and you feel trapped, you're not looking for a way out because you don't know any different.
Right, exactly.
It's like
you stay
in your neighborhood and that's it, you know?
So how did you get out?
Well, cars, you know, BMX, riding motorcycle, skateboard. So those things were, you know, transportation, but, you know, they're also protection. And then just kind of being around different people. I think one of the keys for me, and I hated this at first, was I'm Japanese Hungarian, and I grew up amongst, you know, Mexicans and African Americans and stuff, and I wanted to be Mexican so bad, you know, so bad. And then, but me not being Mexican probably kept me out of the gangs.
Really?
Yeah, because I never fit in. So I think that's also helped me in business because I'm the chameleon. I could go into different environments and fit in because I'm different.
Your first paying job was what?
Delivery driver for a local wheel and tire store in Whittier, California, and just doing deliveries.
Right.
Picking up rims, dropping off rims. And that was kind of where like I really cut my teeth in business because I figured out how much the tire costs, where it was made, how much the wheel costs. And
how long they last.
I was intrigued by that. Right. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
What's the worst job you ever had?
I've been lucky, you know, when I was younger, I would say, you know, my dad had, like a plumbing business and I would go and, you know, like clean toilets and stuff like that. That was pretty rough for like,
paid, right?
Yeah. I worked for free cause I was underage, right? It was illegal.
That's right.
Right. Don't arrest my dad. He's a great guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Dad, you're fine. How many hours do you work a day now, Miles?
I'm probably 16 hours plus. I mean, you
know. There's no 9-to-5 anymore, right?
There's no such thing as a 9-to-5. And you know what I realized is, you know, Newsweek recognized me for my thinking. And that was kind of, it changed my landscape. And I was like, when you're thinking and you get paid to think, you're working all the time. So I'm probably more than that. Because even when I'm dreaming, I'm thinking.
Depends on what you're dreaming.
Well, I'm always, but you're constantly dreaming.
No, I get it.
And it's an evolution. And you know what? Things, you know, there's all these what I call like business messages and things and just kind of lessons that I learned, whether it's in my head or actually happening.
Do you have any hobbies? I mean, what do you do for?
My biggest hobby is motocross, you know, dirt bikes. I ride motocross.
And do you have all your bones? Or?
I have all, you know what? I've been fortunate. I haven't broke a bone in my body.
Really?
Yet, so
you're the first one I've ever met.
Yeah. I've had concussions and knocked myself out and things like that, but
no broken bones. Usually it's the clavicle that goes or
The femur, everything.
Wrist, fingers, legs. What's one adjective that describes you as an entrepreneur?
I think relentless.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be nowadays, right?
Well, you have to be.
You have to be anyway. But.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just period, you know, survival. Yeah. But as I progress, I mean, there's this one gentleman that was mentoring me for a long time, and he said, you're a bull. You're very aggressive. You need to be more like a tiger. And that's something that I worked on as I got older. And you know what? It makes sense.
It's good to have a mentor, isn't it? Was he your favorite mentor?
He's probably one of my only mentors that I've, you know, worked with from, you know, the last probably 18 years.
Did he find you or did you find him?
It was accidental. We just happened to be in a car going to a destination and it just happened. So, I mean, I think that it's kind of like finding my wife. It's just when it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen, you know?
Or finding a parking spot with a big truck you have.
Yeah, find a parking spot, you know, hoping that the angles work so you could get it in there. So
we are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. Miles Kovacs is our guest, the co-founder and president of Dub Magazine. Really a trend-setting magazine. Now it's online and everything. Mm-hmm. But where are you now with Dub?
You know, as far as a magazine, you know, there's all these different niches that are kind of, you know, coming back or resurging. So car culture is kind of like 80s all over again. Mm-hmm. So we have the Dub Magazine, which is a celebrity automotive lifestyle magazine. And we just launched a new title called Lifted and Leveled, which is custom trucks, like big lifted trucks right. and stuff like that. So, you know, as far as the magazine business, I mean, you want to lose money, do events and magazines.
Right, exactly.
Right, that's it.
But the difference now, and I'm a car freak, so, mm-hmm. but now people understand what they have.
Yes.
Thanks to you. I mean, you used to be able to go into communities or somewhere in the Midwest and find a beautiful 48 Chevy pickup for $1,000. Now they all know what they have, right? What happened?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they realize that when the car manufacturers made limited productions or things like that, they know kind of what's a, you know, collection car now. So it educated everybody. And that's really what media does. It educates the consumer on kind of what it is that they maybe should do or not do, and also the price point. So it gets, you know, it definitely gets you very smart consumers.
Yeah. When I go back to the Midwest, Mr. City Slicker here, and they know me. And I said, I'll give you a couple grand for that. And they said, well, it's worth 50.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, they know.
They know.
People definitely know, you know.
So I blame you for that.
Thank you.
How's your attitude as a CEO? I mean, what's the culture of your company?
Well, there's CEOs that lead, you know, and invite their people on a journey. And there's CEOs that take people on a journey. I'm a person that wants to involve everybody on the journey.
Do you rely on the advice of others, or are you a micromanaged kind of guy?
You know, I'm a little bit of both. So what I do is I'm a thinker. So I would take all the information I get and just crunch it and crunch it and crunch it. But one of the things is I'm a problem solver. So as long as there's a solution-based issue, I could find the solution and then bring it out.
Right, how many problems do you have today?
A lot. You know, I mean, I have two kids and, you know, they're both in college and, you know, they're teenagers, married. I got the businesses and things like that and partners and, you know, the IRS.
Those
obviously.
Are quality problems.
Yeah. But, you know, growing up, I mean, you know, I was almost legally blind at 11, lost my vision, went totally blind in my left eye when I was 25, when I started Dub Magazine. And you just get to a point where it's like, you know, you just feel like you're here to do something. And so I've always kind of had that feeling my whole life.
You have to kind of figure it out, right?
Well, yeah, this one gentleman told me it's learning by Braille. So it's like he's seen me hit the wall so many times,
right?
To figure it out that, you know, that's the only way I learn.
Or the left side of the door, right?
That's it. You know, and you have to be willing to, again, make mistakes. Mm. I think the biggest thing is with, you know, people that are control freaks, like myself, I was really, really bad. And I changed that was... when I realized I could only do so much myself. Two, if I got people that are better than me, then I could take the credit for it anyways.
And take some time off.
That's right.
How many people do you have working for you?
26 people.
26. Right now. And how do you, when you hire them, what do you look for? Passion.
Well, in the past, I used to look for credentials and stuff because, you know, I wanted to, you know, brag like, oh, we got this guy that's, you know, this former executive and this and that. And, you know, what I realized was I just want people that share the same mindset. Mm-hmm. I want people that have a good work ethic that really believe, you know, in whatever we're trying to achieve. But most importantly, I want people that are knowledgeable in that field. I want to hire experts.
All right. What about friends and family?
Friends and family, I got, you know, like...
No, would you hire them?
Would I hire them? No.
Okay.
You know, and I learned that the hard way.
Almost everybody who sits in your chair says that. Why? Boundaries are a problem?
Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, when you try to lead the group, there has to be some kind of like aspiration, you know, mm-hmm. like they want to be in that position. Friends and family feel that they
expect
should.
Things.
They expect to be right. in that position.
What's your strength as a CEO?
My strength as a CEO is really identifying my weaknesses, but focusing on my strengths. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is I don't read and write really well still. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to read by actually reading Lowrider magazine, which is a car culture magazine, not by going to school. So because I was never passionate about it. So for me, it was just always find the right people. It's like, I feel like I'm just putting puzzles together every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we need this piece that I know that person and, you know, put that person in the
What
puzzle.
Did you learn from Lowrider magazine?
I learned that
the
they
covers
had,
are always interesting.
Yeah, they have always had bikini cladded women on there. But one thing that I really loved about it was expression. You know, that was kind of my first kind of foray into like art. Yeah. I was like, wow, these cars are like canvases and we could go and create our own Picassos. We could do it through color.
It's
and
like the old Hot Rod magazine.
That's it. Yeah. All I mean, people want to give me credit for starting this genre of vehicles, the dub movement. Mm-hmm. All I did was copy Robert Peterson and Alberto Lopez. So the Peterson Publishing, which was Hot Rod, right. and Lowrider magazine.
I love that Peterson's cars. Wouldn't you?
He's amazing. I mean, Robert Peterson was a visionary. And, you know, again, all I did was take everything that he did and just put modern day content in it.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, back in a second.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's RANK to 79645.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Miles Kovacs is our guest, the president and co-founder of Dub Magazine. Tell me everything that Dub does now.
So Dub is, you know, we have the magazines, we have online, we have social, we have toy cars. So like the Hot Wheels. Mm-hmm. So back in 2001, I went to Mattel and said, hey, we want to make a miniature of Shaquille O'Neal's Escalade or mm-hmm. something like that.
Right.
And they're like, we'll never make that. We'll never make an urban toy ever like that. And we end up doing it with another company based out of Hong Kong. And we sold 25 million toys, you know, so basically we urbanized the Hot Wheels. Cause I was like, I never grew up with a car with flames on it
right.
or five engines. That's kind of weird, but I wanted.
You saw one come through town every now and then.
Yeah, but I wanted spinners and, right. you know, I wanted, you know, speakers and things like that. So all we did was give the consumers what they want. You know, then in 2005, we did a video game called Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. We sold 9.6 million video games with a producer, Rockstar Games. Hmm. And it's the same thing. We took what we did with the toys and now we animated it. We put it on a video right. game.
How did you know this was going to work?
I didn't. You know, it's basically, you know, trial by fire every
suicidal.
Day.
Suicidal.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it's one of those things where I think at the time my goal was just to make car culture socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. That was it. I wanted people to have chrome rims or big rims on their cars and not be considered, you know, like a drug dealer or a pimp or whatever it is.
Right. Well, everybody loved the cars, but they just didn't know how to get in.
Absolutely.
Right? Or
well, it's the cool factor. You know, so what we did that was different was we got celebrities to endorse, you know, our brand and be mm-hmm. on the cover. So it was a celebrity automotive lifestyle magazine. So it's like our first cover was Latrell Sprewell. Then we had Shaquille O'Neal. We've had, you know, Kobe Bryant, all these top stars on the cover of Dub Magazine. And that really gave us credibility.
What's next?
What's next for us is we just actually we're launching new products. So we're looking at different industries and we just launched a new Dub IR. It's a luxury window tint. So when you think of window tint, you think of the darker it is,
right.
the more heat rejection and the more UV rays it blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. So we have a really light film that blocks 60% of UV and IR rays. And so what we're working on now is let's take this out of just, hey, this looks cool because you have dark windows. What if you have an eye condition like me and you need to have some UVR blocking.
Is it legal?
It's legal, and we have different shades that are legal.
Right.
Doing the front windshield is not legal in some states.
Right, right.
But I do it because, you know what, it helps my eyes and then also skin issues and things like that. Like my wife has rosacea, and we put it on her car, and her rosacea cleared up. So it's more of less of, hey, this is a cool thing, but this is more of a medicinal product that could stretch outside of just the dub car culture world. And the reason why that product came out was there was no one really doing that correctly in that marketplace.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Miles Kovacs is here, a good guest. What was your deal with Pepsi? What happened there?
So with Pepsi, we did a sweepstakes. We did the second largest sweepstakes.
They found you, right?
PepsiCo, yeah, they found us through an agency in San Diego that was looking for kind of niche, you know, they're always looking for niche, whether it's like skateboarding or car culture. So we happened to come up and we did a partnership with Pepsi, and we ended up doing the second largest sweepstakes in Pepsi history. Our Dub logo, Dub Edition logo, was on 1.6 billion cans of Pepsi for 2 years. We gave away 70 cars in 70 days for 2 years. One with the first year with Chevy, with the Tahoe and Jeff Gordon and Exhibit, the rapper that did up.
Did you have to put number 24 on all the cars?
No, you know what? It was an option. You know, so you had like a NASCAR deco, you know, could do different things. So that was really, really significant. And, you know, for us, it was like, wow, you know, all these Pepsi cans with their logo on it. I was in the, I was like Sweden, and I saw a vending machine with our graphics on it and stuff like that.
That made you feel good.
Yeah, I was like, man, I want to take that home.
Mountain Dew, Sierra Mist, all those things, they all kind of fit together, right?
Yeah, I mean, all the soda industries. Right now, we're actually partnered with Monster Energy, which is, you know, the number one energy drink in the U.S., and they're attacking it nationwide. So, I mean, I think
you have a Monster logo on your wheels, right?
We have a Monster wheel, Monster Energy wheel, and then we have our own Monster Energy drink as well.
You're really kind of driving not only the millennial, but younger generation as well, right, with ideas. That's got to be a gold mine at some point.
Well, you know, this...
Or it is already, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no lack of ideas out there. There's usually a lack of know-how. And I think with the experience that I have, I'm looking for kind of those next ideas and trying to coordinate them and do different things. I've done a lot of licenses and with, you know, large companies and things like that as well.
Give me the numbers. You know, 500,000... on your website, right? Or the readership is 500,000 on the magazine.
No, the readership's about 6.5 million on the magazine. The website gets about 500,000 unique visitors a month. Our social is at about 3.5 million.
That was a little low, wasn't it? I saw 4.8 on this, and I rounded it to 500,000.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's huge, right? I mean, and you've been able to monetize that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's we've been blessed, you know, just working. And, again, when you give the customers what they want, they're going to react to it. So for us, it's like create impact and then create a movement. So we accidentally created a movement. People wanted to be involved with this culture.
Yeah, so it makes it cool.
Oh, it made it easier.
Part of the
It made it easier because they wanted to be involved. They were coming to be involved.
How do you find the right employees? Not the great ones, but the right ones.
I learned you just have to kind of try it out. You know, there's different people that are going to fit. And then what I've done also is I take somebody in marketing that, you know, supposedly is a great marketer, and I might make him a salesperson.
Right.
I take a manager that sucks at management that supposedly is good and put him into another position.
Name names.
But, you know, that's really what it is. It's like, you know, identify their strengths. You know, most people in life, like I tell people, I don't focus on my weaknesses. I really focus on my strengths.
Yeah.
Because if I want to be the best in the world, all I have to do is really focus on one strength. But if you want to be mediocre, focus on all your weaknesses.
Isn't the best thing just to be observant? I mean, there you were in East LA.
Yep.
Not really part of the crowd.
Yep.
But wanting to be.
Absolutely.
And observing these cars, you just, right? I mean.
Well, you know, what it is
who knew?
I looked at it and it's kind of like what made me emotional. Mm-hmm. Those cars made me emotional. So it's like, I want to be involved with that. Mm-hmm. Plus, it didn't hurt that the guys that had nice cars had hot chicks. Right. So that was one of those things I said, you know what? I'm going to get a nice car so I could have a girl like that.
Just learn how to drive with your hand over the
wheel.
That's
right. That's right.
Like this. At what point will Dub Magazine not be relevant? You know what I mean? Because it's a magazine.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just had the discussion with my kids, you know, and they're like, oh, Dad, Dub's been out 20 years. And I said, don't, just wait. because we're the next baby boomers. So we're going to be driving those cars. Like, I'm looking at like Honda Civics and stuff now that I drove in high school or this or that. So history will repeat itself. So Dub is going to go and do what it's doing. But in probably 10, 15 years, everybody's going to want to run a Dub sticker because it reminds them when they were 20.
I want a Dub sticker.
There it is. We're going to put a Dub sticker and the window tint on your car. I mean, when you put this new window tint, you know, the burn when you're driving and you get that burn, it eliminates that or it takes it down. Another thing, too, is the feeling of the air conditioning and all that stuff. Like, I was just in Arizona, it was 118 degrees. I couldn't even feel it because it's like putting sunblock on your windows.
It's a beautiful idea. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Good to
see you.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate it.
I'll look for that Dub sticker.
Yeah.
I'll be the hero in my neighborhood.
Let's do it.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This has been Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive app.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is John Cefalu. He's the CEO of Health to Humanity. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Thanks very much for having me.
I got to ask, how old are you?
I am 21.
21.
Still
loving
in
it.
College, yeah.
Finishing it up, school and everything.
Finishing up. Trying to.
I hated college. Health to Humanity. Tell us about it. What's your company?
So Health to Humanity is a social enterprise, which is focused on kind of connecting consumer products and purchases here into international impacts. So specifically, we're selling hygiene products that are going into the proceeds into developing these micro-businesses all around the world in the developing nations, teaching them how to make their own hygiene products, teaching them how to run their own businesses, teaching them how to kind of pull themselves out of their own issues. So we're not focusing on the end product, which is soap. We're focusing on the root problem, which is kind of personal development, people developing these solutions themselves, and then getting to that end goal, which is
That's
the product.
We were talking about that. I was like, it's like right out of the Bible, right? It's like you can give a man a fish or you can teach him how to fish. You guys
Absolutely.
Are essentially doing a combination of the both, right?
Absolutely, yes.
I love that. How did you get into this space? I feel like you, like me, apparently wanted to get into entrepreneurship because I was getting ready to start my first business right out of college, and I did. Went through my struggles and whatnot before I started to get Liftoff. How did you end up getting into entrepreneurship?
Well, this whole kind of story starts in high school. I mean, I was focused completely on sports. Everything not Health to Humanity is what I was focused on. So, I mean, so I actually went to my college high school advisor getting into college, and he was asking me all about what I was doing, how I was getting prepared for my applications, all that, the whole nine yards. And he said, "Hey, you got nothing volunteer-wise. You've done nothing to give back to the community, which is going to hurt you." So I went on a service trip to Kenya. Saw this whole situation.
Are you Mormon?
I'm not. I randomly got a call from a family connection who said, "Hey, do you want to go to Kenya?" I was like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. And we pulled up to this orphanage and my whole world just kind of changed. I mean, I saw these kids, I saw what they had and what they didn't have. They loved the relationships that they had with their brothers and sisters, but they didn't have any opportunity. I mean, this was kind of there as far as they were going to get. And I really wanted to come back and create a solution for that that went beyond just giving someone a bar of soap or giving them something. So that's where the journey really kind of started, got to college, and we just kind of took off from there.
I love that. How long have you been doing it?
This is year three. Our third year anniversary was the 22nd of September. So,
nice. Yeah. So the team's growing, the business is growing.
The team's growing. It's been a long, arduous journey. I mean, I still to this day have not taken a paycheck. I mean, the passion behind it is really what fuels it. We're getting to the point now where we're finally starting to see that substantial growth, partnerships, distribution, all the different stuff that come.
Takes time.
Takes a lot of time.
You'll be the young 10-year overnight success that people want.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll be what? And it'll have set 3 years already, got another 7, you'll still only be like late 20s.
Yeah.
And so people will be like, oh, he's so successful, so young, he got lucky, but they won't know the 10 years.
Yeah, it's been so difficult. I mean, people has been kind of the hardest part of this whole journey.
What do you mean?
I mean, just in the sense of getting people to, having people with the right passions for this. I mean, not taking a paycheck and working for this type of adventure at the beginning
is hard.
It's got to come. But if we have the right message, the right mission, the right kind of foundation set up, people are going to come in and work. And that's what we've seen. I mean, it's simply just taking that, asking for what we need, working with the right people, delegating out, getting out of my own head in the sense that I can't do it all on my own. Mm. I don't want to do it all on my own. And if we're focusing on the mission first, then the product and the supply chain and all the different logistics on the business side of things, they'll fall into place.
What are you going to school for? What do you major
in? My major is business admin with an emphasis in marketing.
Okay, do you feel like that anything you've learned in school has been beneficial to you?
Yes and
no. Be honest, because I'm not a big fan of school. I did go to college for marketing.
Absolutely, no. And the classes themselves, I mean, I don't feel like they've equipped me in the sense of being out in the real world.
But you have both experiences, which is what I love, because most kids go to school, they get their degree, then they go in the real world and realize, nothing I just learned actually is real. Nothing actually matters in the business world. And maybe if you have a job, but you have your own company, so you get to actually see.
Yeah. Well, growing through, I mean, everything's kind of about the networking and relationship. I mean, it's really who you know. I mean, no matter what, it always comes down to that next connection that's going to get you to the next milestone. So I say yes in the sense that the connections I've made with professors and faculty and staff and other students are really what's grown this company. In terms of the framework of the class curriculum, I mean, I don't know. It's great. I mean, having that educational foundation, I guess, is important, and the degree is fantastic, but it's really kind of the relationships and the connections and the networking that's really been beneficial.
So what are some keys that people can learn from that you've learned to have to build those relationships? Most people are afraid of rejection. They're introverted. They don't know how to network. They don't want to network, but you just said how important it is. So what are some keys to doing it?
The key is just knowing you're going to get rejected. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into meetings and walked out with a no, or you got to do this, you got to do that. And that kind of constructive criticism, I mean, it can be taken as a negative, or I mean, there's always kind of a silver lining in every no, because they're onto something. I mean, maybe it's not exactly where you think you need to go or where you want to go, but they may have a connection, they may have some sort of idea that might push you along. So getting out of that mindset that rejection is the worst possible scenario, and making it so that it's something that can turn into the next stage of growth in your business is the key.
So what would you say is one of the biggest lessons you've had? You said you're going into your 3 years right now. If you could go back and sit with your younger self at the beginning, one piece of advice you'd share?
Find the right mentors and advisors as soon as you can. I mean, when I started this, I jumped right in. I didn't write a business plan, didn't do any of the foundational keys that you need to do. Literally went online, bought some melt and pour soap, poured it into these little stupid elephant molds, dyed them with some green food coloring, and thought I was going to make $1 million company.
Welcome to being like every other entrepreneur who thinks their idea and product's going to make $1 million their first year.
And luckily, my grandpa at the time, I kind of showed him. I was all excited about it. He's like, "This sucks. Like, what are you doing with this green little elephant soap?" So it really kind of forced me to think about what we were doing. So we started making it ourselves. I mean, the whole first like 4 months outside of developing the nonprofit side of it and the mission and the vision over there was spent driving all around LA, finding ingredients on how to make your own soap and figuring out how to do that and understanding the process and what you can and can't do. And we wasted so much money and time and just energy because we didn't look to anybody for help. We just hopped on YouTube and thought that it was going to be a great idea to look at soap making lessons and we were going to hit it big. So
yeah,
it's we've.
I love that you're sharing this because I just want all the people at home that are like literally like as they're listening, they're like pouring their soap bar, trying to like start their own business. They're like,
yeah, no, I mean,
you're telling me it's not going to be easy my first year or even in my third.
No, I mean, it took us like 60 batches of soap to get to our current recipe. And I mean, we clogged up the entire Chapman dorm on our first couple attempts because it just,
but they love that.
I don't know if this might be the first they're hearing about it. So that's, I don't know. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it that, I mean, and that's only one tiny little aspect of starting it up. I mean, then you got to go out and get all the money and getting people to give you money for a commodity. And
so you raise money.
We have in little tiny increments. I mean, right now
friends,
we're going into
fools?
Friends,
or?
Family, and fools, mainly the fools at this point. But but we've got, we're right now we're going into kind of our first stage of funding and our first kind of stages of investment and really starting to hit that growth peak.
What does it feel like to, regardless of the level of success, what does it feel like to just be playing the game of entrepreneurship?
It's, I mean, being here, being able to network with some of the other, I mean, working with our competitors has been just being able to get those meetings, being
able
to get
like,
into.
How's that, that's like contradicting, working with our competitors.
Well, that's the coolest thing about this social entrepreneurial that kind of stage is that there's so much more that we can do together. I mean, there's definitely some key competitors in just our small niche space of soap that gives back.
Yeah, the biggest companies in the world, Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah. And there's more, where we differentiate ourselves is the fact that we're taking the impact under our own wing. I mean, we have our own nonprofit entity that works alongside of our brand that we're going out and we're actually creating this impact. We're creating this brand all around the world that people are recognizing, partnering with the governments in these developing nations to work alongside their agendas, walking with these people to let them know that they're just as pivotal in this health to humanity growth as we are. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that you see in many of these spaces. I mean, you'll see companies that are giving percentages back and you'll see companies that are giving bars of soap. Even, I mean, on a grander scale, just being able to work within these cultures, within these environments and have them know that their motivation, their innovation and their growth is just as key as our growth over here is really empowering.
So as a young person, you and I both understand that we grew up right around the time of technology starting to really take off, the internet. So I'm assuming the fact that you're a young entrepreneur, you're probably following a lot of the guys that I'm either following or that I'm friends with online, like a Gary Vaynerchuk or a Tai Lopez or a Tony Robbins or a John Assaroff. Who do you like to follow? Who's an entrepreneur that you like?
I mean, it started with Blake Mycoskie. I mean, that's just Tom's being able to understand his story.
We were just talking about Tom, so that is one of the guys you like.
I mean, he started this whole kind of ideology. I mean, he was the pioneer of this space. Yeah, and I mean, I don't agree with everything they're doing, and we have our own fight against giving, which is really important to us in the sense that we want to empower people, not just give them things. But at the same time, seeing him work through this space, seeing him compete with some of the biggest brands in the world through this social impact model has been inspiring, and it's what's kind of led to me feeling like I can do this.
Yeah. Do you have any things that you've studied, events that you've attended, people outside of him that maybe you've read the books of that you really enjoy and have learned from?
The major book that I've read recently that has really kind of is The Promise of a Pencil. And I forget exactly.
Pencils to Promise by Adam Braun?
Yeah, Adam Braun.
I know who that is,
So I read his book recently, and
he's
talks
the
about,
brother of Scooter Braun, who manages Justin Bieber.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Yeah, Adam Braun is brothers of Scooter Braun. Scooter Braun manages Justin Bieber. Adam Braun does Pencils to Promise. He and I are speaking on the same stage at an event. It's a very small world. That's why I was like, start to get in. You start to know all the people.
No, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, just hearing these stories of people who are making it in this space and in this kind of nonprofit realm and who are making the most impact is just really inspiring. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I want our company to get beaten one day. I mean, that's a weird thing that no one ever says. But
because it's about giving and serving. So if anything, it's like, I'm so committed to the mission and the vision of helping that if somebody beats us, they're just helping the same cause.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
I love that. That's powerful stuff. Pleasure having you on the show, John. Yeah,
thank you very much.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
How can events help you grow your business? I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us to help elaborate and answer that question for us is Sarah Shuey. She's the CEO of Happily. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
It's great
to
be here.
How can we use events to help us grow our business? I know that you're an expert on this, and that's what your company does. So what do we do?
Yeah, thanks. We live in the age of technology where everybody's connecting through a like.
We're hiding behind our phones.
Yeah, exactly. The glow of the mobile screen.
Yeah. We don't even want to do phone calls anymore. We'd rather text, right?
Exactly. So events really helps make really important, lasting relationships. That can really take your business and really give it a lot of longevity with some of your most important clients.
So I'm a business owner, or maybe I'm an aspiring entrepreneur. What is the first way that I should either go to an event? What type of event should I attend? Am I creating my own event? Help me out here.
Yeah, I think the thing is everybody's been to an event, right? Like you've had a birthday, right? So, if you're starting out, I think going to
conferences, networking events
where there are other CEOs or people who are interested in thinking about the same things as you are.
That's it right there. Context. You're not just going to an event. You're going to an event that's related to either what you're doing or what you want to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Be strategic with your time because that one can take you pretty far, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But these conferences and these networking events, when you're in person, people start sharing like their secrets, their secret processes, and especially
when they meet you though, right?
Exactly.
Like, I actually know who you are. I actually like you. We're building rapport. let me share some secrets. Versus over social media, it's like there's an element of rapport that I feel like you can't really connect as fast or as deep without being face to face.
Yeah, you don't really know who you're dealing with, you know, when it's, you know, there's Instagram in between you.
Yeah.
But you know, a coffee, a drink, right? That actually helps loosen the tongue and start, you know, sharing ideas.
Do you have advice for the person who maybe it doesn't have to do with hosting your own event? Because let's be honest, they're really tough to do. Even if it's a small event, I won't even get to the large scale. We do an event every year that costs $1.2 million. So I know how difficult it is. It takes us an entire year to put the $1.2 million together to put the event on for 600 people. Even the small events, though, with 50 to 100 people, are very difficult to put on. So let's not talk about that yet. Let's just talk about for the person who's going to start attending events, because that's probably the most easy thing for the general public of aspiring entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs to do. You have any networking tips?
Yeah, say your first and last name when you introduce yourself to people, and your company name and what you do right off the bat. Just that intro is really helpful. And then I always follow up with, asking the person their first and last name, what their company does. And then
if they don't already have a name tag on.
Even still, I make them tell me. And then ask how you can help. So give, the more that you give, you're going to get back. Listen to the problems that they're trying to solve, listen to what they're thinking about, and it helps you understand how much time you actually want to and can allocate to this person.
With that person, yeah.
As well. So it's, it is self-serving when you ask someone how you can help them.
Yeah, I mean, I think something that was a really interesting distinction for me is that every act of contribution is self-serving because it feels good. No matter what, you are giving in some way, shape, or form because of how it's going to make you feel.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I love what you also said, which is you're there to add value. I think a lot of people have the preconceived notion that you're there to network, to meet people that you can get something from. But a mentor of mine shared with me that if you look at networking and people as bank accounts, you can never get a withdrawal before making a deposit.
Right.
And so simply look at people that you want to make a deposit in that you feel will pay the largest return, short term or long term.
Right.
Is that a good, do you
like
that one?
No, I think
that was something
great
that my mentor shared with me. And I was like, wow, that's such a great way to look at networking.
Yeah. I mean, people can feel it when you're there to just take from them, so change that mindset and you'll actually have people offering to help you.
Yeah, it's just the law of reciprocity, right? Add value and they're going to feel in some way, shape or form obligated almost to return value back to you. CEO of Happily, Sarah Hsu, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars and we're talking about how events can help you grow your business and your company. We've gone over some very practical steps so far. What's maybe some of the more tactical things that you feel like we haven't covered about how events can help somebody grow their business?
Yeah, I think that if you want to grow your customer base, events can be an incredible way to do that and get the word out. Every time that you invite somebody to your event, you send an invitation out, you send a save the date out. You actually have about 10 touch points before the actual event happens. So just having the opportunity to relate with that person over and over and over again really helps cement your brand with your customer base. And then if you're being really smart about getting them to share and invite other people, your event is really beautiful and it's so great and it's fun. They take a picture and they post it on their social media following. It helps grow your brand and grow your business with their networks. And you're getting this endorsement, from these customers that you really care about in their communities just by, simply entertaining and hosting them and letting them know that you appreciate them.
So you've been doing events. I'm sure you've come across the whole sponsorship thing many, many times.
Yeah.
Advice for people to go out and capitalize on getting their first sponsors who haven't done it before?
Listen, go to your sponsor and say, here's what my goal is. Mm. Here's how much money we're spending, right? And then shut up and listen. Listen to what they think is interesting. Do they think the guest count is interesting, right? Do they think the goal is big enough? And they'll tell you, what they can and they can't do. And so you listen to what the parameters are of the sponsor and you think about what you can give and, what you need to pull back on.
Do you tell them, here's what we're looking to get? A lot of times I do these business events and very commonly a company named Infusionsoft is always there. And so I'm curious for you, do you go and do you ask them here's, we're charging 35 grand or 10 grand or 5 grand? How do you come up with price?
It depends on the person. We have a formula where you come up with the price based on your expenses.
Yeah.
So, No, I tend to not put a number on because I just feel like it's shooting myself in the foot. Like, why ask for, you know, $35,000 if they can give me $350,000? And it turns into a conversation about the series
of
things.
Start the negotiations?
Yeah. Okay. So, no, I don't. I more talk about the opportunity and the ways that we're thinking about engagement.
I love that. Well, I'm going to have to make sure the team turns this into a blog post about how events can help you grow your business.
Hire us. Yeah.
It's a pleasure. Just hire us. I love that. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.